Call the meeting back to order, please. Next presentation is the Police Department with Chief Sean Butler.
Thank you, Council. Thank you for this opportunity. I have Deputy Chief Roger Anthony here with me. Just for the record, about 3 years ago when I started this position, I was told that these presentations had to be between 4 and 5 slides. Bill was in there. No offense, Mike, Seth, everybody else, but I will adhere to that. Okay.
There's points for it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. High-level overview here, obviously, if you have questions. I'd be remiss if I didn't thank publicly our assistant, Chris Wilkinson. She's an integral part to this process every year, as well as Rachel, who's very sick of me. Can't wait for this process to be over. But thank you. So what we do, obviously, everybody knows what we do, but one of our mantras is one of our department's primary goals is to police transparently through inclusion, understanding that both the community and our employees must be part of the same team in order to ensure our city is the safest it can be, which is an ongoing goal of ours. This occurs when both compassion and understanding are felt by those we deliver our service to. So just some highlights of the 17-18 year. As you can see, our calls for service went up over 4,000 compared to last year. That's quite a big jump. Unfortunately, our proactive abilities are reduced because of current staffing issues. So you can see some declines in overall adult arrest. Detective Bureau assigned cases, you'll want to see that one down because that's a serious felonies. So that's okay. Domestic violence, that's a good trend we like to see go down. And I hope we can attribute part of that to our new aggressive follow-up programming that we're doing in the community in partnership with other collaborative agencies. SROs, another one. We want to see those incidents within the school come down. That's great. I mentioned proactive policing, and you know our traffic control is one of those, and that's something when our officers have downtime, we want them out there patrolling and making sure traffic enforcement. So you see that's down over 1,000, but you got to remember that officers have discretion when they stop somebody. So that's not car stop, that's tickets issued. But I believe a large part of that is our ability to proactively police, and you know, with going out minimum staffing all the time, that is obviously reduced. Parking tickets issued, that was up about 1,000, which is good. And this is not a trend we want to see, is the overdoses. As you know publicly, as of late, we have had a spike in opioid-involved overdoses, which, as you heard Mr. Berlucci talk about, it is a community-wide issue, and it's going to take a community-wide collaboration to really treat this epidemic here locally. So our budgetary breakdown, I did this last year. I really wanted to add to it and really break it down additionally. About 82% of our budget is salary, wages, and retirement and benefits. Specifically, if you look at our overtime, you're going to see quite an increase. Normally, it's around $400,000. Okay, I want, for the public's verification in for yours as well, we don't spend $400,000 for operational overtime. Usually it's around that $230,000 mark. That's operational being late calls or major crime scenes, things of that nature. So I wanted to break it down a little more specifically for you. We do get quite a bit of reimbursed overtime, and this year that went up sharply, and that's where our increase is. It's $155,000 this year. And as you can see, reimburse community events that where vendors, businesses downtown will pay our officers to staff an event for them. It's a new system we started last year. They're actually paying the city, which works out better for us. Operation Crackdown, that's some state money for aggressive driving and vehicle type offenses. So we get money to put out extra patrols for that. Our DEA partnership, we're in, I believe, Deputy Chief, how many years? 10 at least? partnership with the DA where we actually have an officer embedded over in Syracuse, but they obviously not only work cases there, but locally as well. But that's where having that officer embedded, that's where we get our equitable sharing monies that allow us to do things above and beyond renovations at the police department, just a wide variety of purchases that we normally probably wouldn't be able to budget for. So that's it's a great partnership there. New York State DV grant, this is it's called a risk reduction grant. It was just released for a second round of this that through our collaboration with Cayuga Seneca Community Action Agency, I believe we're going to apply again. This allows us to go out and do domestic violence follow-ups on domestic violence cases here in the city that meet a certain criteria that have a propensity of violence or lethality. So that one is a great collaboration, allows us to get those numbers down. Stop DWI, another great partnership, that's Cayuga County Stop DWI program, and that's around that figure. Annually we get reimbursed. Governor's traffic safety, again, another vehicle and traffic enforcement, allows us to do buckle up, aggressive driving. We're going to use some money to do the Stop School Bus initiative next week. OVW grant, this is a new one. This is a three-year grant. I'm not sure if you remember the presentation on this a while back, but the city was granted about $80,000 and change over 3 years. It's going to be treated just like the DV grant, where we're going to go out and do specific follow-ups for those domestic violence cases that are identified as possibly, you know, more violent, more need more attention than your standard domestic violence case that we may look into. So that's over 3 years. That total grant was close to $400,000. That's in partnership, again, with Cayuga Seneca, as well as Cayuga County Sheriff's Office. But our portion is about $26,000 a year, which just started this year. DWI refusal hearings, that's reimbursement for our officers that have to go to DWI refusals. Pretty self-explanatory. And again, another long-term partnership, probably longer than a DEA partnership, it's a U.S. Marshal partnership, and it's always been around $20,000 a year. Allows us to go out on overtime details to look for felony warrants that we have within our city. As you can see, contractual obligations that cause overtime, that's about $150,000. And again, the operational is about $230,000. This year, because of our personnel issues, you know, we're definitely going to be over budget on that. I'm in constant talks with Rachel about, you know, how we're going to transfer, fill those gaps before I have to come to you and ask for more money. But hopefully we're not there yet, but unfortunately we may be soon. Any questions on this, or we'll get into more detail on the operating budget. All right, so a breakdown is compared to last year, 2018, 19, 19, 20. So you'll see a slight increase on our salary and wages. So I want to get into some detail with this. As you all know, at the end of this month, I have a captain retiring. That'll bring me to 9 vacancies, 9 open positions. We are currently budgeted at 67 positions, so I am going to be down 9 from that. In working with the manager, the deputy chief, and Rachel on this proposal, we seriously looked at, you know, what our capabilities of filling all 9 were going to be in this upcoming budget. And as you all know, our list has expired. We have 2 candidates that we're hoping to send to the academy off of this list, and then this list is exhausted. We will not be able to draw off a civil service list. The next civil service test is September of this year, probably about 3 months before we get the results back. That gets us into January. And the process goes on from there, and maybe we'll be able to start interviewing individuals from that list in early spring of 2020. The next dilemma is, and it's something we're waiting for right now, is there going to be an academy available? So we have to look realistically at how we're going to fill these positions. With your blessing as well as civil service, you're allowing us to look at lateral candidates. So that's to fill those gaps. So we have one perspective right now. We really have no other good candidates that have presented themselves with our methods of advertising thus far. As I presented to council a couple weeks ago, we're going to try a thinking outside the box with an advertising strategy, and we're going to put out billboards in Onondaga County to hopefully attract some potential candidates that way. So thinking, putting our collective heads together, you know, thinking conservatively, we think we can possibly fill through the two off of the list, maybe four through lateral six over the next budget period, six of the nine. And that's barring I don't have any other retirements, which are very possible. So with that, that's the number we figured into the budget for funding is six positions. Four at lateral, two at brand new step one. For clarification, I want to make sure for my people's edification, we're not reducing. We don't want to reduce our numbers. As you know, we're budgeted for 67. I want 70. I know that's not what I'm budgeted for, but 67 is our bare minimum, and that's what we need. We just don't feel like we're going to be able to fill those, so we did not put the numbers in there, the salaries for 67 positions. Again, we don't want to cut the positions, okay? If all the moons align and I get a mass flood of lateral possibilities and we want to fill the six positions that we have with laterals, I may be coming back to you and asking for that money to be put back in there. And I know and I appreciate your support, and you guys have historically supported the public safety, and I appreciate that. So just putting that out there, I hope that happens. I hope I come back and we have to do that, but just I know my people are a little uneasy thinking that we're cutting positions, and that's not what I want to do. We can't do that. 67 is the bare minimum that allows me to do what you expect us to do out in the community. Okay, so that's what that number is. That's with 64 positions that we think we're going to be able to fill. Retirement benefits, because of that, not putting in those the salaries for those extra three, there's a slight reduction there. The operating budget, we'll get into why that number went up. I explained why the overtime number went up. We are increasing our reimbursables, which is a good thing. Holiday pay stayed steady. Temporary and part-time staff, we are asking for another part-time parking enforcement employee. Why we're going to do that, and we've talked about it, we've had several meetings about this. Our current full-time meter attendant has multiple responsibilities, not just enforcing parking, but she is responsible for meter maintenance, collections, a lot of other administrative details that take away from her writing tickets. An extra part-time person, the idea would be it'd be a more flexible position, not set hours. We could put them out there possibly on weekends as well, things that we've talked about. And that's all they would be doing, just like our afternoon parking enforcement is writing tickets in obviously for revenue and violations. So that's a proposal. That's a new proposal this year. Sick incentive uniform allowance went up. That's with a collective bargaining change there. We have more people that are collecting the sick incentive, reducing calling in sick and causing overtime. So it's more or less a balance. The overall budget as it stands, the increase is 1.94% as presented today. Some things, accomplishments over the last year. Obviously, the cupola renovated, repaired, looks great. Thank you for that. Appreciate the support there. We're in the third year of the five-year fleet management plan that Sergeant Gilfus has put together. A little caveat to next year. So as you have probably seen, we've been transitioning to Ford Explorers, all-wheel drive, better in our snow. It looks like Ford's going to change the design of those again. The engine next year, the sedans are no longer available by Ford. So with that said, they're anticipating an increase in the cost of those. So we may not be able to, every year we're trying to replace four. We're going to have to adjust that possibly and only get three next year based on our requested budget. We're currently in the implementation phase for our planet scheduling software. Some of you may be aware, we still do scheduling on paper like this, long form. This is going to be web-based. Our officers can take overtime. We can distribute overtime through an app or online, much more efficient in 21st century. Our New York State accreditation process, it's going. It's a very slow and arduous task. It's definitely a goal of mine to get us through this within the next 2 years. It's just a long process. We are revamping, rewriting all of our policies and procedures. It's something that we have policies and procedures that go back four chiefs, probably, at least, chiefs that weren't here when I started. You know, it's time, and it's something that in order for us to be a 21st century policing agency, it's something we need to do as an agency and as a city. First year for annual events such as Cops on Top, we're going to participate in that again. National Night Out, I think it was a great success. We're planning on that again. And we did it one time, but I think it went over well, and I'd really like to get back out there again and with council is do our targeted neighborhood walks. I think that went over well, and definitely want to do that. More comprehensive police officer hiring practices, that kind of leads to our ability to hire as many as we'd like, but we're more stringent on our practices. It's a good thing. It's a long-term thing. We want the best quality candidate out there. That includes we've implemented polygraphs, psychological tests, things of that nature. So it does weed out some candidates, but I think it's the direction we really need to go in. Continue with community employee satisfaction surveys. As you know, our community survey is still up and live until the end of this month. We're up around 700 responses, which is what we did last time. So a reminder to the public, please, you know, give us your input. It really helps us develop our strategies and our mission moving forward to serve everybody to the best that we can. Reiterate 9 vacancies at the end of this month. What we did, a complete 911 dispatcher shadow. That's just another training opportunity that our people got to go sit with the 911 dispatchers. You're disconnected. You think you know what they do. You think you understand why they do the things they do. We put each of our officers out there for 4 hours to sit and really, it's a better understanding of how they operate and builds teamwork, which we work every day together, but we never see each other. So. And we're in the second year of our random drug screen program, which is going well. I was selected this year. I was one of the lucky recipients. So that's going
good. Yes, I did, of course.
This is just some highlights of budgetary items that we're requesting. And these are carryovers from last year. We're in the second year of our body armor replacement program. We are getting ready to purchase. We went through a whole choice. So obviously I wear body armor. Everybody wears body armor. It's mandatory. But this is called an outer carrier. It's the design of the look. And some of our officers wanted to change that up and go to what's called a load-bearing vest, where some of your equipment you wear on your waist is brought up here. So it's not so much pressure on your back and your waist. So you would think that'd be an easy process, but it's something that the deputy chief and I have to agree on the look, what it looks like, and what's the most effective and cost effective. So we finally got to that point. We're going to offer these that look like mine, that have nothing, and then they're going to see some officers are going to have a version that has equipment up here. So in the next month, we're going to purchase 18 of the vest for some of the officers in the remaining 27 in the next budget year. So that's where you'll see in the budget the request for $25,000. Of the total, we'll get $18,000 back from the state through reimbursement. I mentioned this last year. This is the year it's coming due. Our live scan is our digital fingerprinting for criminals. It's how we get fingerprints to the FBI and to the state on criminal offenses. That vendor was acquired by a new vendor, and now mandating that we purchase a new system, software and hardware. The maximum cost is $28,000 for all the equipment, all the new software and licensing. Depending on how old our equipment is, like our the actual scanner, we might be able to still use that, hopefully. That's going to drive that cost down, but we don't know the details yet, so that's why I put in the maximum amount just in case ours doesn't meet the threshold of age. And the last is the part-time parking enforcement that we talked about. Questions or comments? Counselor.
Going back to your operating budget, under temporary and part-time, it's a difference of $24,258. That's what it'll cost to add that part-time position?
Yeah, $18,000, I believe, a little extra with the benefits. Okay. Yes.
In regards to how you've budgeted for your staffing.
Yes.
I understand why you did it. I also understand the concerns that have been raised. Thank you for addressing that. How can we further alleviate those concerns that if those positions need to be filled, that the funding will be made available?
If you recall, the budget document that's given, that's printed for the city every year, also contains a number of positions in as a preface to the other information for each individual department budget.
Those 67 slots are listed
in that.
Okay, so they'll be listed in the budget.
Absolutely.
And even though it's not contractual, right, like the fire department is, because they're in there, we will have to fund them. I just want that reassurance out there.
When that opportunity presents itself,
right,
to do
right.
that. And we should also recognize that there should be a reduction in overtime with the
yes.
addition of folks, too. So not only would the chief be coming back for authorization maybe to increase the salary lines and various benefit lines, but at that point there should be an offset to the amount of overtime that's needed
right.
to provide the appropriate level of staffing on a day-to-day basis.
I don't know if council's interested in obviously we didn't present it that way, but we could probably figure what those bottom line positions in benefits would be, just so you saw what that difference would be if we were to fill all those.
Yes, if we could. And as long as it's going to stay in the budget document, the 67 positions. I just want to clarify that.
And that is, we have talked about this, Roger and I, a great debate on how to best do this and what if, you know, and me standing here in May of next year. And I get that, and I understand our people's concerns. I want to be able to do more than what we can do right now, and I need those 67. And I know you all appreciate, and like I said, you've supported us and want us to be out in the community and doing those extra things. And I can't do those without those positions. So I am confident in your support, and that's, you know, to do our job as effectively as possible, we need those positions. I wish I could fill them today.
I'll jump in on that so they can bring the tape back when I totally support the 67. And, the organizational chart or whatever the page is that goes in ahead of your financial data will have
yes.
the 67. And I'm doing this with the intention of the 67 being your goal, but you're just budgeting for what you think you're going to get this year.
Right. So I hope our marketing strategy works. I really do. And it could work before this budget's passed. Who knows? That'd be great. And, you know, we would get officers on the street faster if we got the laterals because, as you know, the academy process draws it out a whole nother over a year. I know we want to hire off of our list, but, you know, it's just this is an oddity with the number of retirements we've had. But it's that 20-year we're coming due on a lot of 20-year employees.
You've probably asked this question, so you probably know the answer. Is there such a thing with civil service as an emergency test? Like, couldn't you get a test?
The state is the one that issues the police the police candidate list. So, to my knowledge, I've never seen it. I've never heard of it.
September. I mean.
Yeah. And we're not unique.
No.
This, you know, going to the FBI Academy and. The deputy chief and I often go to Central New York Chiefs meetings. We're not in the boat alone. It's unfortunate, but it's very severe here. So,
okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, Rachel. I was going to say Rebecca, but I didn't.
You can call me whatever you want. Thank you. This slide shows what makes up the finance department and who we serve. Currently, the finance department has the treasurer's office, which is responsible for the receipt and collection of city monies, including parking fees, water bills, taxes, that sort of thing. They're also the custodian of all of the city funds. The comptroller's office handles the purchasing, payroll, accounts payable, and general ledger maintenance, including journal entries, budget amendments. The assessor's office handles the valuation of all properties within the city and also the exemptions. We also have a line for expenses related to taxes for properties that we acquire. Then the last department is our central services department, which is the IT services as well as other citywide expenditures. The finance department overall budget went up approximately 7.4%. The main reason for that change is contractual increases. There is a clerk that retired. We're also proposing a new HR benefits associate position. And the account clerk previously was a 50-50 split between the water billing department and the treasurer's office, but that's now going to be 100% housed in the finance department. The operating budget increased approximately 15%. The majority of that increase is related to tuition reimbursement and increased audit expenses. The assessor's office had a slight increase at 5%. That's due to the new appraiser that was hired. She was hired at a higher rate than at the starting rate. Their operating expenses did go down approximately 9%. We did cut the total for property taxes for acquired properties by about 50%. The central services, that shows an overall decrease, both overall and with the operating budget, but there were quite a few changes in that, which I go over those on the next slide. So the safety officer position previously was in the central services budget. That has now been moved to the city manager's budget. And we have a IT staff that is retiring in January of 20. And with that, we are looking to possibly hire two new full-time positions, one being hired in October to train with her before she leaves. And that would be the IT supervisor title. And once Linda retires, we're hoping to then hire an IT help desk technician, which would help with a lot of the other duties.
Oh, that's great. I gotta just say, that's the best thing I've heard.
Yes.
Wonderful. What a big help. Big help.
And we will still have David, who is also part-time, so we'll be going from two full-time equivalent to 2.5 full-time equivalent. Impact on the current budget for that, hiring the IT supervisor starting in October for about 9 months of the budget year is roughly $40,000 plus benefits. The help desk position being in the budget for about 6 months of the budget year would be $20,000 plus benefits. And other
reasons for the decreases come from the code enforcement software, as Jenny mentioned, has been moved out of there. The GIS software, that's also been moved out of there. That's shared between engineering and water and sewer. And we do have a little bit of an operating increase that you don't really see, but that's due to the IBM power server, which is related to the AS400. While we're in the process of transitioning away from that, we have to maintain the server for that, so we are doing a 3-year maintenance agreement on that. And that's all I got.
What is the budget impact of the HR position?
That is approximately $45,000 plus benefits.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is that a full-time, or is it? Did I hear you say it was a part-time?
It will be full-time.
That's great, too. Those, the HR and the IT are things that the city desperately needs.
Yes, yes.
That's great.
Any other questions? Thank you.
All set? Oh, next, last but not least, our city manager, Jeff Diger.
And then we got you guys. You guys aren't on the list, but this is just your.
I gotta do it.
I'll do it.
Thank you.
It's gonna take about. It's gonna take about 2 seconds.
Okay. Thank you, counselors, for the opportunity to show you about 4 slides real quick about the city manager's office and the budget. So, for the public, what we do in the city manager's office. We hire and supervise city personnel, the ultimate authority signing off on people being hired and employment issues. We oversee all city operations through the coordination of our various departments. We negotiate and enforce contracts with the help of Corporation Counsel's office and various departments. We enforce city laws and regulations, prepare the annual budget, Rachel and the comptroller's office take care of the heavy lift on that. That's ultimately the responsibility of this office. Provide updates to the city council on city issues, projects, and programs, and do our best to resolve citizen complaints, which this budget is actually a part of that duty, really, if you think about some of the things that have been presented by various department heads. A lot of the changes that are here are an effort to resolve a lot of the issues that we hear about on a day-to-day basis. Who do we serve? We, first and foremost, the citizens, our employees, and obviously the mayor and council. Our operating budget this year, as Rachel just mentioned, the safety officer position has moved around in the budget over the course of several years in various spots for various reasons. We brought it back into the city manager's budget. It really doesn't necessarily matter where it's funded, but the communication between the safety officer and myself and Shelley Lowe, who's the city manager's secretary, that's a really efficient form of or a route of communication. There's a lot that's been going on. We have a lot of communication with our insurance carrier and our workers' comp folks, Department of Labor, things like that. So we wanted to make sure that that position had the authority of the city manager behind them, as well as the ability to communicate really quickly and cleanly with that office. So if we take all that into account, we're looking at an 11.2% increase in the budget. If we disregard that safety officer position or pull that out of the equation, it's a 2.8% increase in the budget. And there are no other changes to our budget other than a few minor things we've done administratively to share some services up on the second floor between civil service and Corporation Counsel's office related to copier and things like that. That's it. Questions?
Any questions? Thank you.
So next week, I believe your schedule for the budget shows that we'll be accepting or taking your comments for additions, subtractions, clarifications on things related to the budget. And if you have the opportunity and you can get us those questions in advance, especially if it's something we might have to do some research or some mathematics on, that would be much appreciated.
Thank you.
Good. Okay.
Thank you. And that is the end of our budget presentations.